WGNS, Murfreesboro, FM 101.9, FM 100.5, and AM 1450, and online at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line.
On today's show, we have a special guest host, retired Rutherford County Sheriff Truman Jones. Sheriff Jones interviews Oakland High School football coach Kevin Creasy. He led the Oakland High School Patriots to the 2024 Division I Class 6A State Championship title for 2024.
The Oakland Patriots, 8-time state champions. 84, 98, 08, 18, 20, 21, 22, and 24. 14-1 and state champions. The gold ball headed back to Patriot Drive.
And now we give you retired Sheriff Truman Jones and Oakland High School coach Kevin Creasy.
This is such a great day, Kevin. I haven't seen you in a while, but I have been keeping up with what you have been able to do with Oakland. I mean, it seems like it's a continuous thing, and everybody else seems to be overrun, and you're just sitting there smiling, enjoying life, Kevin.
Well, Truman, appreciate you having me on the radio. Glad to talk Oakland football.
Oh, gosh, definitely, yes.
Definitely glad to be back hollering at you, you know. It's been a while, but I think we need to talk a little bit about this season.
It's been a great season. It seems like it's always a continuous thing. When you start the football season at Oakland, there's something special about it, Kev, and you do such a great job. You know, the first thing I heard early in the season, you've got one of your guys that everybody wants him. Yeah. And it looks like that he has finally got where he wanted to be all along.
That's right. Yeah. DeJuan Morris. We call him Doodle. Doodle found his home at UT, and he signed last week, you know, and we had us a big ball game. Got a big signing ceremony in front of the gym and in front of his buddies and all our teammates with him signing at UT. He's a big fan of UT and grew up wanting to play at UT, so it's good to keep in-state talent around.
I've got on orange today.
That's right. I noticed that.
I'm not happy because they are sending Tennessee to Ohio State. Now, why in the world would that happen?
I don't know. That's not good. That's a tough place to win. And I was hoping UT could host a game. But
yeah.
Now, if they win, I hear that Tennessee will be heading to the Rose Bowl and play Oregon. Is that right?
That's correct. And I'm hoping that once they get on that field, there's going to be a different situation right there.
Well, I sure hope Tennessee makes it to the Rose Bowl. Now, I'll say this. About 25 years ago, Tennessee had a great team. They'd just come off a national championship. They were playing LSU in the SEC championship, and they had a chance to go to the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I was single but broke, but I'd still, me and my buddy, we done made a promise. We're going to the Rose Bowl. This is historic. SEC teams never go to the Rose Bowl. And sure enough, a backup quarterback that night at LSU beat Tennessee and just ruined our dreams. But hopefully Tennessee will make it because I've got a guy playing for Oregon, and he told me that he's going to make sure he gets me to one of his ball games before he goes to the NFL.
Yeah.
And Jordan James is tearing it up at Oregon, and that guy just happened to call me last night. And so I told him I'm going to try to head out to Pasadena, come watch him play.
You lucky guy.
I know. I'm lucky. I just hope I can make it out there.
You are the number one coach in Tennessee. There's no doubt about it.
I don't know about all that now.
Are you enjoying coaching still after all these years?
I still do like coaching. I do. I really enjoy it. Funny part is, you know, it gets a little stressful at times. This year was probably the most stressful of any year for a lot of different reasons. I walked up one night and our freshmen were playing in the freshman championship. They have a county championship.
Mm-hmm.
And they had already been beat by Blackman in the regular season. We were playing at Blackman in the championship, and one of our coaches got sent packing by the referees, and so he was our play caller. We had had practice that day, and so I missed half the game. So at halftime, they're like, well, we need somebody to call plays. And I'm telling you, I was over there coaching up those freshmen. That was one of the most fun parts of my season, was being able to coach those guys up and end up winning the freshman championship. And that was like real tear shed. I mean, it was impressive. Those guys really gave it all they could. And freshman, JV, they both finished the year with wins. And you know, we hadn't lost a JV game in 10 years.
Wow.
You know, not everybody knows that. But our JV team is well-stocked, and freshmen are looking good. So the future at Oakland is bright.
Well, you had to play a pretty tough team for the championship, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Now, that team, they took us to the woodshed last year about the fourth quarter.
I remember it.
It was a close game, 10-9, and we were driving down the field, and we got a penalty in the middle of this rainstorm. Everybody's soaking wet, freezing to death. You know, the other team, Houston, they were going through the same thing. Mm-hmm. So we can't really use that as an excuse. They played in the same elements. But, you know, they fumbled six times, and they got on it all six times. And we fumbled, you know, right there at the end when we were trying to take the lead, and they got on it. And so sometimes the ball bounces your way, and sometimes it don't. And so they beat us in the fourth quarter, so we knew all about those guys. They were
big.
Really good opponent.
Yeah.
They're tough, athletic, got great facilities, take care of their coaches. They like winning over there. And so for them to make it right back tells you a little something about Houston.
You've enjoyed football. You've enjoyed coaching. And it seems like every year you have a team that gets better and better as the season goes on. I've just thoroughly enjoyed the teams that you have had and been able to continue to grow. You really get better as the season goes on.
Well, I tell you, we had some struggles with our offensive line. We only had one senior, and I remember going against our defense in the spring. We had to get our varsity defense off the field because we couldn't move the ball, you know, a lick against our own defense. So we're struggling big time with our O-line, and we had preseason scrimmages.
Yeah.
McCauley just wiped the floor with us, but come to find out, McCauley wins the whole thing in the private school league. So they're not like chopped liver. And then we played a good Lipscomb team, and then we turned right back around, and we played Montgomery Bell Academy, and so we did a little bit better. And then we played Macon County in a jamboree at our place. A lot of people were like, what in the world, you in Macon County? Well, Macon County just happened to win the state championship in 4A. So, you know, we're like, we did pretty good against Macon County and got a little bit better every week. And, you know, I think the credit is to our assistant coaches. You know, our assistant coaches, man, they work. Those guys, I mean, they work them hard. On both sides of the ball, I felt like we got better every single week because we weren't very good at the beginning of the year, but we worked ourselves into a good team by the end of the year.
Could you see it coming, the growth, and how your team would continue to be very successful?
Well, we came back after fall break. And boy, we needed fall break. We finally were smart enough where we didn't have a game on fall break, so we just took a 5 days off, and we needed kind of recharged. And we came back and played Coffee County, who had a heck of a team, and played Mount Juliet good in the playoffs. And, you know, Coffee made the playoffs, ended up beating Blackman this year. And so
yeah.
Coffee had a memorable year, but we struggled with Coffee the whole first half. And so people were a little disgruntled. And I said then, I was like, I'll just tell you this. We got Ravenwood, Riverdale to end the season. Then we got the playoffs. I said, we could lose every one of those. We could get out of the playoffs in the first round. We could get beat. Or we could end up winning every one of them. I said, this team, they're on a mission, but I don't know if they realize their potential. We very easily could get beat in the first round. Or we could turn this thing around and we could win every one of them. And boy, I tell you, we had a heck of a game in the rain against Riverdale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they led most of the game and we came from behind. Right before that, Ravenwood, we were up 17-0 on Ravenwood. I think it was 17. We were going to score.
Yeah.
We were about to put it away, you know, in the first half, about to go 21-0. And we fumbled and threw it to a tight end that didn't get a lot of passes. So he didn't know how to tuck that thing away. And they caused a fumble. And next thing you know, We're in overtime with Ravenwood.
Mm.
End up 2-point conversion. They throw one over there in the corner and can't really see if he trapped it, if it skipped. I couldn't really tell. Some of their coaches even said that it did skip, but the referee said it was good. So there ain't nothing he can do about it. So we lost by a point to Ravenwood, who we thought we might see week 15 in the state championship, but they got beat by Houston.
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of got our attention a little bit. And our guys, we let them know, if you play this many close games, you're eventually going to lose one.
Yeah.
And since that moment, they fought back. And I think we had been behind in 8 games this year.
That's rare for you.
We weren't used to being behind. But to our players' credit, they never faltered. They never did all that finger pointing that some teams do. We didn't have any come aparts at halftime or anything like that. We just went in there and coached them up as good as we could. And to their credit, they were made out of the right stuff, and they just kept fighting and kept fighting. And every single game, they fought back and came from behind. And in the playoffs, played Lebanon, who we've played several times in the playoffs. Lebanon always has a history of playing Oakland really good. And they took it to the 1-inch line to start the game. Mm-hmm. And we held them on 4th down. Well, the ironic
That's some
part,
good defense right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, the ironic part is Coach Watson had that defense ready. The very next week, Mount Juliet did the same thing, and we stopped them.
Yeah.
And then in the state championship, you saw Houston, they got down to our 1-inch line and we stopped them. So it was like a team of destiny, you know. Things just went our way. We had all this stuff go against us at the beginning of the year. You know, one of our best players blew his ACL out.
Mm.
Well, guess what? He waited to have ACL surgery for a chance to build his strength back up in his knee, put a brace on, and play. And that sucker played with a torn ACL half the year. We had a separated shoulder by our best linebacker. Well, not only did he keep playing linebacker, but he kept playing H-back for us. You know, we had a high ankle sprain by Doodle, the one that's going to UT, on the first play of the season. The first play of the season. He was never the same until the playoffs. T.T. Hill broke his arm, had surgery.
Mm.
Could have called it quits, but fought to get back just in time for the state championship. And ended up scoring 2 touchdowns in the state championship game. We've had so many injuries go against us. A neck injury that had to have, a fused back together.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that kid, he may never play football again, but that sucker never missed a practice. He's out there with us. And so with all these guys dropping out like flies and getting hurt, they all rallied together and got back just in time for a playoff run.
That's pretty special, isn't it?
Oh, that made the winning that much more sweet. You know, people talk about this generation bad. You know, they talk bad about these teenagers and stuff and how they're all selfish and they're all motivated by individual goals and mm-hmm. individual aspirations. But to have a bunch of teenagers that are supposed to be spoiled rotten instead come together as a team and not worry about their injuries and fight through the pain of what they went through and keep working, that made it that much more special whenever it was time to hoist that trophy up.
I've seen it so many times. It's the thought process in these guys where they're ready to go. When they get out on that field, they're ready to do everything. They want to win. They don't want to lose.
Yeah.
I've played with guys like that. It's amazing. They're just so special.
It is a mindset, and that's the thing about it. You know, I look at our defensive line and stuff, and they're real small, and we don't have but 2 players that are over 215 on our defense. Our defense is a bunch of skinny guys running around making tackles, but you look at it and you're like, man, these guys, they're not the biggest, they're not the strongest, they're not the fastest, but man, they are mentally and physically tough. And boy, I could go to war with some guys like that.
Yeah, and you would be in a process like last year. Last year, you guys had a great team, but good night. You were playing a team. They were huge.
They were enormous.
I don't know how you were able to do it. To me, I play against teams that are large and they're strong, and they're going to get out there, and they're going to completely, they feel like that they can overtake anybody once they get on that field.
Yep, that's right. And, you know, Houston, they had about 7 starters back on defense and 6 starters back on offense, so they were a bunch of juniors. And we had a really good junior class last year that are seniors this year, so we were happy with our senior class to get some redemption on Houston.
I see a lot of changes going on compared to what it used to be. And your guys are looking, they should be going over to Knoxville. And you can see that it makes Tennessee a better school because they're out there to give it all that they've got once they get on that field.
That's right. Yeah, we got a few guys that are going to go play at the next level. And, you know, I think Tennessee has come back around and started doing a good job of recruiting our area.
You know, they're changing.
I've been here 10 years. I haven't had a single kid sign at UT. But at the same time, if you look around this year, I had a D lineman start at Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
I had a cornerback start at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
A wide receiver start at Miami. A running back starting at Oregon. When you have those guys starting for other schools, it gets everybody else's attention. It's like, hey, they're doing something right here because Oakland doesn't just send kids to college. They send kids to college that start, that play, that contribute, that stay in school, that do what they're supposed to in the classroom. They do what they're supposed to in the weight room. And eventually, you're going to see some Oakland people on the NFL roster.
Oregon. You almost never heard of them until the last couple of years.
Right.
And now they're one of the top teams in the country.
They are. And Jordan James is doing a great job for them. He split time with a guy that's in the NFL right now last year, but Jordan led the whole conference in yards per carry last year.
Wow.
And so now that guy, the other guy went to the NFL. So Jordan's the main man. So the offense runs through him, and man, he's as good as they get.
Tennessee. Let's talk a little bit about them. I don't really know where Oregon is.
Playing each other.
I'm being silly.
Yeah, they could play each other,
That's a possibility.
I guess it's 2 weeks.
Yeah, they are. They're playing at Ohio State.
Right.
And then the next game will be Oregon. Is that correct?
Yep. Whoever wins between Ohio State and Tennessee, it'll be Oregon. So should make for a great matchup.
That's going to be a great game.
Yep, yep.
Do you think that they'll end up playing in Knoxville, or do they know yet?
I think it's a neutral site. That's what we were talking about earlier. I think it's going to be the Rose Bowl. They're going to play that game at the Rose Bowl, and so that should be special for whoever makes it. But like I said, I hope Jordan does really well. And like I said, I got some other guys that are playing in some bowl games. I always try to watch them at least once before they graduate, you know. And so, like Jacoby Stevens, I couldn't ever make it down to LSU, but they played Vanderbilt 1 year, so I got to holler at him there and watch him play, and he had a heck of a game. And, you know, some of them guys, you go watch them, they play a little bit better when you go, you know, they know their coach is up in the stands watching them, so they show out a little bit more.
That's what I was going to ask you. They really want you to be there, don't they?
They do. They do. And, you know, I was supposed to go to during our fall break, I was supposed to go to the Ohio State versus Oregon game. And, you know, Oregon won last second. Might have been a field goal or something. And they all rushed the field. It was a great game. And sure enough, I had one of my assistants. I told him, I was like, you just go. You take the tickets, and I'll go one of these days. And sure enough, he got to go and see one of the best games in Oregon history, you know, and got to be touring the whole campus and got to go in places most people don't get to go. And Jordan took care of him, so I should have went. But now, if there's a chance, I might just head out to Pasadena.
Are you going to stay up there?
Yeah, I'm going to check out the climate and see if it's worth, you know, maybe watch a New Year's Day parade. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? Maybe I can do it. Long road trip. I better check on flights first.
You have been coaching how long now?
I've been coaching 28 years.
Good night.
Yeah.
When are you going to take that next step up?
Well.
Come on, Kev.
You talking about the Titans? The Titans, I was just
around those people. No.
They didn't even ask me anything about it the other day. I was in their facility at Mr. Football Award was this week, and Craig Tutt was nominated, so we went up there and yeah, they didn't even ask me nothing about it. I don't know. I'm kind of happy where I'm at right now.
You're one of these coaches that if you wanted to, you could take another step up. I think that's very important. You've got how many coaches that are with you right now?
We have, I think, 16 coaches.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. We've got an entire freshman staff, and then we've got a bunch of guys that help us with varsity. You know, we've got 144 players, and so we've got to have that student-teacher ratio down, you know, to where we can get them all coached up, because we coach them freshmen, sophomores, just as hard as we do the juniors and seniors.
I don't think many people realize that you have that many players and that many coaches.
We have a great freshman class, and they're going to be real special.
Yeah.
So we just keep those guys together and keep them from going to other schools. That would be plan A. And then plan B was we'll coach them up, get them bigger and stronger, and they should be great their senior year.
I can remember the days when we played. We didn't even have anything close to the numbers that you have. You work hard, and I know you're looking at them all the time. I know how that is.
Yep.
Every once in a while, you get special players, don't you? They can do almost anything, play for any team in the country.
Sometimes they make it easy on us, you know. That's, you got a guy like Craig Tutt, you know, he's just a junior. You got a guy like him, he makes you look real smart as a coach because he played every snap of defense, and then he'd come over and play some offense, and he barely even practices offense, and he's just a natural and just makes us look real smart when you throw him a screen from the 10-yard line and he goes 90 yards on Maryville to the house. That makes us look real smart.
You've got a number of schools that are private schools, like NBA and some of those teams that have been good for many, many years. Is it hard to reach out and get your players playing against teams like that that they don't see that many times?
Yeah, you know, ultimately, I think that there's some really good private schools in the Middle Tennessee area. You know, I love what they do at NBA. You know, they've been playing football for over 100 years. We scrimmage them every year. They're tough kids, well-coached. And then, you know, you look and you got a CPA – you know, that just won it this year, too. We're working on playing them next year. We may have them in a regular season like we did a few years ago. And we had two great games with them a couple years ago where we played them in a regular season. So we may play a team like CPA. It's got a lot of winning tradition, too. And, you know, our guys understand that they are able to kind of draw people from different parts of the state, different counties. So a lot of times you're kind of playing some of the best talent around. And some of those private schools, they're kind of like all-star teams, you know.
Yeah.
And they certainly got great coaches, great facilities. You got to step your game up whenever you're playing on that level. And biggest thing is it's a non-region game, so it doesn't count against you. As long as you don't get hurt or something, you'll get better playing that league, that private school league, because, man, they do a lot of things the right way. And ultimately, you want to kind of give the fans what they want, too. A matchup with those guys, that's what the fans dream of. We're looking at playing, hopefully, CPA this year and turning right back around and playing Pearl Cone, who's had a heck of a run, you know, and one of the best metro schools that's out there.
Yeah. Pearl has always been a very competitive school.
Look, every year at the track championships, they win the track championship, it seems like every year. That's usually somebody you don't want to put on your schedule.
It seems like that over the years, they seem to always rise to the top. Pearl, I remember when they were just almost impossible to beat at one time.
Yep. They are.
They've got a lot of talent, and talent is one of the things that keeps you on the top end.
That's right.
And you have done things that I've not seen many coaches that can reach up like that. And you've been at Oakland for all of those years.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about maybe if one of the top schools in Tennessee or the country wants you to coach, have you ever thought about going up a couple of steps more?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, if you're a competitor, you always kind of want to see yourself measured against some of the top around. But, you know, I'm also getting a little bit older, you know, my wife and my daughter's still in school. My son's graduating. So I need to put them into the factor as well because they've sacrificed over all these years, you know, to let me go wherever and coach football. So definitely got to keep them into consideration whenever you're making decisions like that. And I think it'd be fun to coach at one of the top schools in the nation. I think Oakland is definitely in the conversation of, you know, the top 50 schools in the nation always. And of course, you know, college would be pretty fun to coach at, stuff like that. So, you know, I think it'd be fun to kind of go back a couple notches too. And just like I said, those freshman and JV games are part of my funnest memories over here. So I could see myself stepping back and going to maybe a one-horse town and being the biggest show in town and them locking up the banks and just rolling up the street corners and, you know, you going back and being a, you know, at a small school too. So that's that kind of stuff. I don't worry about getting my ego in the way on that stuff. Coaching is coaching. Football is football. Kids are kids. And wherever the good Lord puts me, that's where I'll be. And hopefully I'm smart enough to listen to wherever he tells me to go. And if it's stay at Oakland, I'm good with that too.
Johnny Majors, I think you're in the same category. It's not just the looks. You seem to coach a lot like Johnny Majors used to. You ever have any thoughts about who are your favorite coaches?
You know, I do think I've always kind of looked up to Johnny Majors and mm-hmm. Phil Fulmer. I think both of those guys are top-notch.
Fulmer won a championship.
He did. He's a heck of a coach. And I look back at Coach Clint Satterfield. I coached with him. I got a lot of my philosophies from him. And then I played for Bobby Sharp, who made it to a state championship this year after 42 years.
Wow.
Been coaching 42 years and finally made it.
That's unreal.
And he's one of my mentors still to this day. And so I think you take a bunch of different influences and you kind of combine them into one and you come up with your own philosophy and your own way to coach. And you hope that's going to be successful. So we got a good thing going at Oakland. And the best thing is we got a lot of consistency with our staff. The only way people leave, it's usually because they're getting a promotion. I lost my DC a couple years ago. He's back in his hometown as the head coach. I lost my D-line coach, and he's coaching with Coach Rankin down at Chattanooga. He's working at Boyd as a D coordinator. The kid that just won a state championship at Macon County in his hometown used to be my running back coach.
Wow.
So it's good to kind of see my little coaching tree expand and go on to bigger and brighter things for them. But mostly we've kind of kept our core group of guys around on our coaching staff, and they make things easy on me. And the biggest thing is there's no outliers. You know, everybody's singing off the same sheet of music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kind of believe in what I believe. They listen to what I got to say, and they definitely share the same ways of winning that I believe in, and that's huge.
It's amazing that you've kept these coaches all these years.
Yep.
I have seen them. They are very special on how they deal with each individual that's playing for them.
Yes, they are. And, you know, the biggest thing is we all love to win. But I tell you, those coaches I got, they love kids, too. I think that's a big part of it. You know, you can't just use kids. You know, you got to let them know that you care for them. And my coaches, they do a good job of – you know, sometimes they may be the only male figure that they see that day, you know, so they're going to expect to treat them like they do their own kid, and they might have to run them home, you know, and, you know, that's kind of frowned upon nowadays, loading up kids in your car and taking them home, but at the same time, they'll usually pull into Sonic and give them something to eat because it may be the last time they get a chance to eat something that night. So our coaches do a good job of, you know, being a guy that's a good influence, a good example. They set a good example. They do a good job of coaching, but they also show them what a good job of being a dad is, or being a husband, or being an employee, or you know, being a friend. And so they do all that, and so our guys get coached up more just football.
Kevin Creasy, one of the best coaches in the country.
That is retired Sheriff Truman Jones talking with the head Oakland High School football coach, Kevin Creasy, who has taken the team to at least 7 Blue Cross Bowls as the head coach. We got to take a quick break, so don't go anywhere, because Sheriff Jones will be right back to continue the conversation with Coach Creasy.
Hi, this is Dan at Music World and Drummer's Den. We have new things going on here for Christmas. We have gift cards available for any amount from a dollar up to whatever you want to spend on it. We have Christmas specials going on. Our prices are competitive. Sometimes we're even below the online prices. We have layaway plans available, and this is real popular at Christmas. Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church, right across the street from Indian Hills Golf Course.
You know, gift cards are always the easiest gift. This is Peter Demas at Demas's Restaurant. We will buy gift cards and just kind of have them on hand. They're amazing gifts to give to teachers. If you want to give a gift at your workout groups, you know, you have a personal trainer, family members. It's great to give gifts for 16, 17, 18 years old who are just now beginning to date, and they need to be able to have some place to take someone on a date to. Gift cards are always the easiest gift. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at your Rutherford Farmers Co-op. If you're looking for that unique Christmas gift, please come see us. We have everything you need for your holiday season. We have the clothing that will keep you warm from our Carhartt to your feet with our muck boots. We also have a great selection of fashion clothing for our ladies. And if you're looking for a unique gift, say for your patio, we also have our wonderful handmade wooden furniture. That's all here at the Co-op Farm and Home Center just off of South Church.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. All those friends you've made while banking here over the years, well, they're still there. And so are the delicious, warm, homemade cookies.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Everything you enjoyed at Capstar, still there at Old National Bank. Old National Bank, ready to serve you.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We are back, and today our guest host, retired Sheriff Truman Jones, discusses football and taking a team of local high schoolers to the state championships. But not just taking them there, winning the state championship title. And that's exactly what Coach Kevin Creasy of Oakland High School did. With more, here's Truman Jones.
You got right now with Oakland some of the best coaches around in the state of Tennessee. Kevin, what is it that makes a person stand out to be able to relate to the kids like they need to? And football is a different game altogether, isn't it?
It is. It's a tough sport. You know, you got to be tough to play it. And I think our coaches are demanding. I think our coaches are good teachers. And the best thing they got going is those players know that the coaches care for them. And when they know that, you can coach them as hard as you want to.
And it makes a difference with each individual player that's out there on that football field.
It does.
I like the way that you handle each kid. And last year, I was listening to the game, championship game, and I didn't realize once that game was over with how big those kids were that you were up against. Yes. It was unbelievable. I can remember if we had a lineman in there that was a good lineman, a lot of times they would only weigh about 190, 195 pounds when we were playing back in those
years. Right.
Now you got guys that are out there that are huge. You have people that can come out there and just control the game that are linemen, right, which is amazing, especially on offense.
Boy, they had one big D lineman, and he was back. He landed on Kyler. Kyler let a ball go, slipped out of his hands. One big 300-pounder caught it and ran it for a touchdown. The other 300-pounder landed on Kyler and broke his collarbone. Things just went from bad to worse. Our quarterback just broke his collarbone. He had to have surgery. We think about all that stuff, and so we did a better job of protecting the quarterback this year. We did a better job of having a quarterback knowing how to get rid of the ball. I think Kyler only took one sack the other night. He threw some really good passes, and our receivers did a whole lot better than they did the year before. Our protection was better. Our quarterback was better. And ultimately, when they loaded the box to try to stop our three really good running backs, you know, there were some guys that were running wide open, and Kyler did a good job of putting it on the money and not being afraid of some 300-pounder coming and landing on him again.
How many hours did it take that 300-pound lineman to run all the way across the field?
Well, I tell you, that's what was scary. He ran really fast, and I was like, well, I'm glad he doesn't play offense, because he ran like he knew what he was doing with the ball in his hand. So it didn't take him long to score, and luckily this year their defense didn't score any.
Do you concentrate more on defense or offense now?
I'm mostly on offense now. And like I said, we got a good guy, David Watson. He played at Oakland. He played at MTSU. He does our defense for us. He does a great job.
Does he completely control the game on defense?
He does. He's the head coach of the defense. So he does a good job. And boy, he's got some good assistants too.
When you've got size and you've got speed, that makes a big difference in your football, doesn't it?
It does. There's a reason it kind of upsets me sometimes when I want a guy to get recruited by a school, but he's 2 inches too short and stuff like that. But then you look at it, you understand, you really do understand why they need a guy that's got not just speed, but got size. And there's nothing you can do in a weight room to grow 3 inches, you know. Ultimately, it's either God-given or not. You're either tall or you're not. You're either big or you're not. So some people are just given a gift, and we want those people to use it. But our team's full of a bunch of guys that are 2 inches too short to go here, there, or the other. And they got a chip on their shoulder because of it. And because of that, they're a heck of a high school football player. And I tell them all the time, there ain't nothing to be ashamed of to be known as a great high school football player.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes things just are against you. You know, you're 5'9", and there ain't nothing you can do about it. But ultimately, if you're 5'9", and you're playing like you're 6 foot, that's great. And a bunch of our guys, they play above their talent level. They play above their head sometimes because, you know, they're got a chip on their shoulder because Tennessee Martin's coming to see them instead of Tennessee Knoxville. So that's just part of what we've done. We've always felt like if we had one or two Power 5 guys, that's great. But then if we had a slew full of guys that are 1AA that wish they were Power 5, that makes our team that much better.
You're an unbelievable coach, and you have been ever since you've been up there. What is it that makes you have that feeling of each individual kid and where each individual kid will go as he continues on playing football?
Relationships, building relationships with players is huge. And then that kind of helps you know how you coach them. You know, some guys respond better to certain things than other guys respond to. And I think that's kind of what makes coaching unique. You know, it's not anything in stone. It's kind of like you got to have a natural feeling on how you can coach one guy over another and stuff like that. But ultimately, I feel like we've got a good core together of our culture. You know, our culture kind of tells guys a certain way of doing things. And we have a belief that there's a right way to do things and there's a right way to do it right now. You know, I think there's a time to do it and it's now. And I think there's a way to do it and it's the right way. And if you ain't got time to do it the right way, when are you going to have time to do it over? Stuff like that. The mixture we got of these guys that are D3 players and D2 players and 1AA players and big-time college prospects and being able to all get them on the same page and being able to coach talent. Now, I'm just telling you, some people think it's just roll a ball out there and you got really good players. Well, when you got talent, you got to be able to coach talent. I've seen so many talented teams that couldn't get out of their own way and they're all jealous of each other and they're all mad at each other. That, you know, there's only one football, but you turn around and you got these schools that bring in all this talent and they've never played together and they never grew up together and they didn't play youth football together and they could care less about what decals on their helmet. They could care less about anything in the school. And they're just a bunch of mercenaries, basically, all worried about their own stats, and they all get on the team and shoot, there's just one football. And, you know, and there's three people trying to be quarterback and there's four receivers that want the ball thrown to them every play, and then there's three running backs, and they only play with one, so two of them are mad the whole time. It takes a special kind of coaching staff to be able to get superstars, especially talented players, on the same page and believing in a team philosophy instead of me, 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 because it's a me, me, me culture out there a lot of times. And I think the best thing we've done is to get a Jacoby Stevens that ends up getting drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles for defense, having him out there blocking as a wide receiver on offense and believing that's what he needs to do for our team success. Because a lot of people that are getting all these accolades would be all against going out and blocking, you know. And so getting somebody like Woody Washington, who's started 4 years now at Oklahoma as a defensive back, and have him run out there at receiver. And, you know, he makes tremendous plays for us as a receiver. But when he doesn't get the ball, he's out there blocking for guys that he went to middle school with. I think that's huge, huge. And I think that's the best thing we got going is that what do people do when they don't have the ball in their hand? Jordan James is over there playing running back right now at Oregon. But when he didn't have the ball in his hands, he was doing everything he could. I remember him pass protecting the starting linebacker. Now, the Patterson kid at Vanderbilt, mm-hmm. he was playing for CPA, and on our game-winning drive, Jordan James protected our quarterback by pancaking the Patterson kid. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people would have just olayed him and got out of the way because the Patterson kid, he brings the wood now. He still does at Vanderbilt. That's part of the reason they have so much success is kids like him on their team. But Jordan didn't shy away from contact and went in and hit the linebacker right under the chin and protected our quarterback and led to a game-winning touchdown. But that's what I'm saying. I think our best claim to fame is we do have some big-time players, but you ought to see what they do when they don't have the ball. It's easy to see what they do when they do have the ball. Mm-hmm. But when they don't have the ball in their hand and they're willing to sacrifice for the betterment of the team, that don't happen every day nowadays.
Who taught you more than anybody else?
I learned a lot at Trousdale County. Like I said, a head coach mm-hmm. that's in the Hall of Fame, Clint Satterfield, he did a good job and taking a lot from him. And I think he learned a lot from his dad, who was mm-hmm. a head coach and also a Hall of Famer, Jim B. Satterfield. And they did a heck of a job way before I got there. They were winning a bunch of championships before I ever got to Trousdale. And I won a state championship as an assistant. Learned a lot. And back in the day, I was coaching at Bolivar Central in West Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And Randy White was the head coach. And that guy showed up at our championship game. He lives in Ripley, Tennessee, on the Mississippi River, basically. And ends up driving all the way to Chattanooga by himself just to watch me coach and congratulate me at the end of the state championship game. So he was a big influence. And Donnie Webb was the head coach in Henry County when I was coaching at Henry County. And I learned so much from Donnie Webb. And the funny part was is at Henry County the year before, we played a team called Oakland and beat Donnie Webb. He was the D coordinator for Marty Uverard, who's now the head coach at MBA. And here's the deal. We played them week one, and we felt like we were really good. And next thing you know, Oakland goes and wins the state championship back in 98. Then we hired their D coordinator as the head coach over at Henry County. And Donnie Webb still to this day is a good buddy of mine. And I learned a lot of football because of him. And yeah, I've had some really good mentors over the year. Glenn Campbell, who used to coach at Blackman a little bit, he was the head coach at Warren County. That was my first job, Warren County.
Yeah.
And we won four games at Warren County, and they hadn't won four games in the last 3 years added together. So we felt like we did a great coaching job over there. And that guy, he's over in Texas coaching at a high school in Texas now. So it was a great learning experience for me to be an assistant coach. But I'd say Trousdale, I probably learned the most.
In a school, the football coach, it's a continuous thing. There are so many things that you have to learn and how to do it during a game.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And I think part of it is, you know, having a good, hard schedule early in the year. Mm-hmm. I think we benefited from having some tough scrimmages with some tough teams and good team in the Jamboree and then playing Independence. I thought Independence had a great coaching staff and turn right back around and take a 10-hour bus ride and play a state champion out of Texas. I thought that was a huge trip, just getting our team bonded together. And I thought we went through some struggles in that game. And we were down two scores, and they kicked an onside kick to start the second half and recovered it. Things could have really went south, and our kids fought back. And DeJuan didn't even get to play in that game, so we got one of our best players that was hurt. And we didn't use that as an excuse, and we fought back and won that game 52-48. Who's ever heard of a 52-48 game at Oakland? And then you turn back around, and in the third round of the playoffs, we're winning a 49-46 game against Riverdale. A lot of our Riverdale games are 20-17. Well, this one turns out to be like, I think it was 48-45, something like that. So I think putting our guys in tough spots early benefits us late.
Kevin Creasy, I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I've been away from the radio. I retired from the radio some time ago. And being back with you, Kevin, is a real special thing for me.
Well, I thought it'd be pretty cool if we're going to talk Oakland football that you do the interviewing. I didn't know if we were going to pull you out of retirement one more time. But if I was going to be
interviewed. You pull me out anytime.
You ask some pretty good questions.
You don't know how much I appreciate this, Kevin. Kevin Creasy, bless his heart, one of the best coaches in the country.
You've been listening to a special edition broadcast with guest host, retired Sheriff Truman Jones, and Oakland High School coach Kevin Creasy, who led the football team to their 2024 state championship title. You can download this show or listen to it as a podcast through our website, WGNSradio.com, or find it at your favorite spot to download podcast. Thanks again, Sheriff Jones and Coach Creasy. We appreciate you listening.
And that is your ball game. The Oakland Patriots, 8-time state champions, 84, 98, 08, 18, 20, 21, 22, and 24, 14-1 and state champions. The gold ball headed back to Patriot Drive. Final score in this one from Chattanooga, Oakland Patriots 42, Houston Mustangs 20.